just wait for you to get your Bibles open or your electronic device, get to the right place, Matthew chapter 6. Get your eyes over by verse 31. Okay, and as soon as you have that, just look up here and I'll know that you're ready. Okay, got a few more people still flipping. That's fine. Our scriptures today we're going to look at is Matthew 5:7 that says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And then we're also going to look at Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is telling the people, his disciples, Christians, do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. And he gives an example of a bird. And he says of this bird that he never sows nor reaps nor gathers into the barns, but your heavenly Father provides for them. Won't he do so for you? Aren't you more value than the birds? Praise be to Jesus that by the blood we find our value, that each one of us here is valued by the priceless blood of Jesus. Sons and daughter of Jesus, you are priceless. You are worth the value of God's blood. Hallelujah. He will take care of you. There is no need to worry. Jesus gives another example of why we are not to worry. And then he finally says these verses explaining what the Gentiles seek. Verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let us pray. Jesus, we believe that you are in our midst. You are in the center of your church. And I just pray, God, with the same urgency that you have for life to come to your people today, that it would be shown in this meeting. Your word says that you pour out your spirit abundantly, God, in floods on the dry ground. And if anyone would be dry today, that is, without your spirit and true life, resurrection life, I pray that you would pour out your spirit on floods on their dry hearts, that they would be satiated with your spirit. For you have promised through your prophet Jeremiah, "I have satiated the weary soul and I have replenished the sorrowful soul." So won't you satiate them? Won't you come by your Calvary love today and fill them up afresh? Come by your undying love and show Jesus so wonderfully that their vision is renewed of why they would give all for your great name's sake. I believe you, Jesus, that you hear, and you are here. So please, God, open up your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The name of this message is entitled Selfless Sowing Cycle. Selfless sowing cycle. There is soul security in the selfless sowing cycle. What is that? What is that soul security? You're worry-free. You can give yourself worry-free knowing God will supply all your needs. The word that we're looking at today says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In other words, when you sow mercy, you reap mercy. You continue to sow mercy and reap mercy. You can sow yourself for the kingdom without worrying about reaping from the kingdom. I call this soul security. It's freedom. It's a freedom to just give yourself, knowing I can give my life for others and God will take care of me. Hallelujah. I've lived this way in my ministry abroad. I've lived this way since the day that I've got saved. The emphasis has always been on giving your life for others. Mercy is nothing more than meeting the needs of another person. And that's what we're called to do. If someone needs a drink, a ride to school, or prayer, we sow that mercy. We simply meet needs, and God meets our needs. And we never have to worry about where our next dollar is coming from, where our next financial breakthrough is coming from, or your physical ailments, or even your emotions. God meets all of those things so we can simply give ourselves for other people. The selfless sowing cycle supplies your needs. Let me give you an example. Look at the life of Moses. When you look at Moses and he comes out of Egypt, he had just killed an Egyptian because he knew that his calling was, oh, I'm supposed to lead the people of God. There's an Egyptian and a Jew fighting, and he kills an Egyptian in fear for his life. He flees Egypt. Pharaoh is going to kill him. Now he's found at a well in the place called Medain. How would you feel? 40 years you're in a kingdom, you're in the king's palace, you murdered a man because you found out your calling, you went about it the wrong way, and now you're alone in a foreign land, as sitting down at a well. And the scripture tells us that 7 daughters of the priest of Raul come. They're coming with their animals. And as they're trying to draw water, what happens? These shepherd boys start troubling them. You can't have any water. But it says that Moses got up and came to their rescue. And he chased away these shepherds. And he gave water to them all. So now these girls go home and they see their father. Their father says, why are you home so early today? Oh, well, there was this man. He was there and he fed our flock. So he says, well, why didn't you bring him home? Bring the man. So he did come home. And Moses, when he got into this man's house, he ended up marrying one of his daughters, Sephora. He was eating bread. He was even given a job as a shepherd. And then if you read the next chapter, you see that that decision to enter into that house led him to the burning bush in an encounter with God. What I'm trying to show you here this morning is that there is a system that God has set up so that if you purely look to sow your life without worrying about what you can reap and what you can get, there is a freedom in that. Look at this man who is broken. He got up and went to the rescue of some girls. He helped them. He met their need. He gave the mercy of God. He never intended on getting anything in return, but look what happened for him. He had no house. He was given a house. He had no wife. He was given a wife. He had no food. He was given food. He had no son. He was given a son through this woman. He had no God. He was given a God. This is what I call beautiful. You know, when I first came into the faith, I was a wreck. I was destroyed. When I said the salvation prayer, I had just come out of using heroin. And God set me free, but I was still a very selfish person. And as I would give the mercy of God in this ministry that I went to, I found myself being healed. Proverbs 11:17 says, the merciful man does good for his own soul. So instead of being depressed and having anxiety and just always looking in, I started to look out. And I saw that as I was looking out for the other men in the ministry that happened to be there, by making food, by taking care of their chores, and by praying for them, I was receiving inner healing. I didn't have to worry about where my healing was going to come from. I knew that it was in God. As I would sow into other people's lives, I could reap a healing. And it happened. The merciful man does good for his own soul. When I left that ministry, I went to a Bible school. And then after that, God commissioned me to go to India. And I said, all right, I'll go to India, Lord, but my fleece is, I'm never going to ask anybody for any finances. And then I'll know you called me to the ministry. If you don't supply, I quit the ministry. That's all. And I agreed to go to India to train under a man of God. And I had no money. I had nothing. And slowly, somehow, people started coming up to me and giving me money. And within 3 weeks' time, I had $6,000 to go overseas. I couldn't believe it. Now I finally get there, and I'm in a situation where I only have $1,400 on my account. God says, give $1,000 to this man. I say, rent's about $500, and that's coming in 2 weeks. I said, all right, Lord, I'll obey you. And I did it. That was on a Monday. And by Friday, I had an email saying that from my mom, Frank, God supplied $1,000 for you. And then it happened the next Friday. It was beautiful how God was supplying. You know, in my ministry, I've been disappointed time and time again about, Lord, where is my wife? What's happening? You know? And I just knew this verse. This verse in that I see with Moses, these verses and this system that I see, I put my trust in my ministry and my whole life, and I knew that if I just keep going and meeting the needs of other people, God's going to meet all my needs. And I took a job these last 6 months in the beginning of the year as a missions teacher, and I didn't know that I would go to that area early and fall in love with Deirdre and marry her. But as I was just meeting the needs of other people, God was meeting my needs. Do you know that there's such freedom just to be able to have eyes that are looking to sow rather than to reap? To give yourself selflessly for the kingdom. I like to say it like this. When you get up and go to the rescue of others, God will get up and come to your rescue. The Lord Jesus is offering you a freedom this morning. It's a soul security. Your soul feels safe because you can give yourself worry-free, knowing God will supply all your needs. It's beautiful. And you can sow yourself worry-free. That's what I love about this. Didn't Jesus give himself worry-free, knowing God will supply all his needs? Didn't he have needs? Yes. He had no money, right? When Peter said, you know, we need temple tax, he said, go fishing. You know, when they said, you know, they tried to trick Jesus, and they said to him, you know, should we give taxes to Caesar or not? He says, give me a denarius, give me a coin. He didn't have his own. The Son of Man didn't have a place to lay his own head. He had needs. But you know what? He didn't worry, did he? He trusted Judas, a thief, with the money bag. No, Jesus would give himself. And that's why I love this God. This is why I love Jesus. It's his selfless love. A matter of fact, no matter what happens to you, you're supposed to look out to the need of others. Look at Jesus in the garden. This is why I love him. He's sweating. He's sorrowful unto the point of death. He's sweating drops of blood. And what does he say to the disciples? Pray for me? You know, he says, pray that you don't fall into temptation. When he's on the cross, does he say, oh God, get me down? No, he's looking to the needs of others. He's bruised, battered, and broken. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It's not easy being at a ministry after you've been on heroin and then saying, yeah, go look out for the needs of other people. It's almost impossible. But by grace, we can live up to this beautiful standard that Jesus has put on our lives. For which of us hasn't met a hard place where we're called to give our life? Jesus did this worry-free. This is why I love him. He taught that. He taught that we're not supposed to worry. In this passage, he's saying, listen, don't be like the Gentiles and what they seek after. Clothes, food, all these other things. Listen, that's Long Island. You know what I mean? I saw a sign on the road. It was a bank. It says, it's all about you. That's Long Island. You know, Long Island is like this. Yeah, I'll help you, but what can I get out of it? This is what we call a reaping mentality, and it's large here in 2018. Everybody wants to know what they can get out of it. Nothing is for free. The emphasis is on reaping. It's very sad. And because of unbalanced teachings in the body of Christ, the believers are starting to get a reaping mindset. It's all about me. What can I get? Look at the way that they do offerings on the television. Just sow this $100 and you can get $1,000 back. Well, that's great. Give to the kingdom of God. But are you doing it for what you can give or really what you can get? It's teaching people, give this, come on, and then you'll get. This is what their mindsets are turning into. Look at the shallow altar calls we're having nowadays. Come to Jesus, you can get saved. You can be healed. And it's true. Praise the Lord, forget not all his benefits. That's wonderful. But I never hear at an altar call anymore. There's no call for the high price of sacrificial love. There's no call for holiness. There's no call to count the cost of suffering persecution. They know it in India when they get saved. I wish they would challenge some of these students that are in the church today and say, you know, you're going to go to college and be tested. These teachers are going to tell you that God is false. He's not real. What are you going to do? Are you going to stand up and have sacrificial love? Are you going to live in holiness? Are you going to suffer persecution? You're called to that. I tell people that in my meetings down in Florida with the homeless. You're going to suffer from your family. You're going to suffer. You never thought that you were going to have to skip a drink before or anything like that in your life. You've got to live holy, man. What about that high price of sacrificial love? I love Jesus in the garden, on the cross. I look at him. I fall in love. And people will fall in love with Jesus Christ in you when you love that way. Problem is we teach the benefits of Christ, but not Christ's likeness. Jesus became poor so you could be made rich. Yeah, that's true. That's the teachings in the Bible. But how come I never heard the same TV evangelist say, so why don't you go sell everything and live among the poor so that they can be rich in salvation? They leave that out. But we here today don't want just the benefits of Christ. We want what will benefit Christ. We want Christ's likeness. And Jesus says, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, that you may glorify your Father in heaven. These are mercy works. You're sowing into the kingdom by meeting other people's needs, and God is glorified. His light is shining through you. Hallelujah. I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. I've been living out of a suitcase for 7 years, and God has supplied every one of my needs emotionally, physically, financially. You don't have to worry about keeping your life. We are not the ones who are going to forget Jesus and forget Christ's likeness, but we want Christ's likeness. You see, the world, their emphasis is reaping and what they can get, but our emphasis is sowing our lives. Let me be clear. Just to talk about your money is cheap. I'm talking about you. Your life needs to go into the ground as a living sacrifice. Jesus said that if a seed goes into the ground and dies alone, it doesn't do anything. But if it dies, right, it bears much fruit. That's how you're going to bear fruit. That's how your light's going to shine before men. That's the emphasis is on not on the reaping, it's on the sowing. seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and everything else is added to you. I'm testifying before you today that what I'm saying is a real freedom. There's a soul security. There's a soul safety in knowing I can be free to love people. I can just look to the people to my left and to my right and say, if I just look to give myself, God will take care of me. Will you please take what God is offering you today? You don't have to be troubled about what you're going to get like everyone else in Long Island. Just look to give yourself for the kingdom, and you don't have to worry about reaping from the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now here's the word, here's wisdom, and here's balance. Is God happy if I sacrifice my time with Deirdre every day to meet other people's needs? No, because I neglect my responsibilities, right? But at the same time, that does not exclude any of us from sacrificing time outside of the family to meet the needs of others. You know, people in the ministry, they tend to forget their own family. They don't meet the needs of their own family. Like Billy Graham, you know, he went out. He did a lot of good, but even he said so himself. He should have spent time with his family, more time with his family. And some people are on the other extreme. They just want to, they just meet the needs of their family. Friends, we need to get outside of our own house. In the house and out of the house. In the house of God and out of the house of God. In your own home and outside of your own home. Will you open your eyes to your coworkers? Will you open your eyes to the people that God has literally set in front of your face day in and day out? You know, some of you know there are problems in this congregation, and you have been awesome. You have been, I've seen people come to Pastor Greg's house and take him out for the day so Tina has a time that, where she's free. I really must commend you. I was just staying here for 3 weeks. I've seen a lot of people come. I just want to say that you guys are in the right path. And I'm grateful for that. I'm encouraged. Deirdre's encouraged watching the way that we've seen this church really step up. But I'm encouraging you that while you're doing such things, you can be worry-free. You don't have to worry about what you're going to get. God will take care of you. I wish to God you'd walk out of here today and say, how can I give my life for others? How can I live for the benefit of others? And just know God's going to do it. What's your need? Like Moses, do you need a house? Do you need a spouse? Do you need a child? Do you need a job? Do you need an encounter with God? Here's some key knowledge to help you today. Key knowledge so that you could sow yourself. Whatever you do to others, you do to Jesus. You know, you need to see things like God sees them. Whatever you do to a person, whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, you do it to God because they're made in his image. When you read James chapter 3, you see that people ought not to curse men and then bless God with the same tongue, because it says that they're made in the similitude of God. That Greek word similitude means his image. It's unique. It's only used once. But James had a unique revelation, didn't he? Whoa! Be careful that you don't curse men and then you curse God, whether they're believers or unbelievers. Why? Because you ought to respect the image of God in another person. God took time to form that person in their mother's womb. How are you treating them? Because literally the way that you treat them is the way that you're treating God. Remember Matthew 25, that great day of judgment? Oh, that we're going to stand before God. I tell you today, get right with God and live holy. Get set right your house. You're going to stand before him. In Matthew 25, there is a judge of all judges, and the sheep are on the right side of his hand, and the goats are on his left. And he's saying why these sheep are righteous. He says, when you gave them a drink, you gave me a drink. When you clothed them, you clothed me. When you visited a person in prison, you visited me. Like, when did we do all these things to you, Lord? Anything that you've done to the least of these, your brethren, you've done to me. Hallelujah! When I give a drink to my pastor, I give a drink to Jesus. When I give a ride to a kid that's in school, I've given a ride to Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to see how you've blessed God this week? And how your little sacrifices you've actually done to the Lord because they're made in His image. Hallelujah. Jesus, let me just stop here for a second. I'm really thankful for you, Lord. That, Lord, you give us an opportunity to respect your body of believers, and anything that we do, we can do unto the Lord because we know we're touching you. We thank you, Almighty God. Jesus says in John 13:20, He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, whomever you receive, whom I have sent, you receive me. And not only me, that the one who sent me." So Jesus is saying, I'm sending people into your life. I'm doing that. And when you receive that person, you're not just receiving me, but you're receiving the Father. Amen? Now, I want to show you the ways of God. See, God will send somebody into your life when you're in an extreme time of need. And when you meet that person's need, God takes care of everything for you. Okay? So, for instance, when I was in the ministry, in Pure Life Ministries, and I was broken, and all these people needed me to do their chores, or if I could cook for them, God was sending those people in my life. And when I meet that person's need, He was healing me. That person that I was going to, that needed the offering, when I said, "Yes, Lord," and I gave it, God met my needs. When I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to go and minister to these young men in missions class," God met my needs. God does that. That's His ways. But sadly, when God sends that provision into our lives, and He says, "I'm going to send people into your lives," and we reject that person, we've rejected Jesus. Okay. Anything we do to others, we do to Jesus. So if you have cutting words towards anybody who is the image of God, you just cut the Lord. If you deny a drink to somebody else that God has put in your life, you've denied a drink to the Lord. And if God sends someone in your life with a need and you send them away, you just sent away Jesus. But not only have you sent away Jesus, you've sent away His provision for your life. In what form will God come to you? In what form will God come to you to meet your need? God will come in a form of a need. Remember the Good Samaritan? Excuse me. Remember the Samaritan woman in John 4? What does Jesus say to her? "Will you give me a drink?" Let me ask you, was God trying to get something or give something? He's trying to give something. He's trying to give her the waters that will spring up to everlasting life. He was trying to give her salvation. She says, "You're the Messiah." He says, I who speak to you am He. I am the Messiah." That's what God does. He comes to you in the form of a need. Let me ask you, who is the broken person like Moses God has sent into your life? Who is the person that feels, "Oh, maybe I have a call on my life, maybe I don't, maybe I missed it"? They're broken. They're at the well. Who is it? Can I show you the way that God did this to Jesus? I'll share this one last point with you and we'll close. These are the ways of God, the selfless sowing cycle. God even did it with Jesus. Jesus was downcast. He was very upset. And when you look at Matthew 14, It says, and when he heard it, he departed by himself in a boat. But when they saw him, they came on foot from the cities, and he saw them. He was moved with compassion and healed their sick. This is the feeding of the 5,000. So now here you see Jesus, he heard something, right? What did he hear when he heard it? John the Baptist just died. John the Baptist was his cousin. It'd be like me losing Mikey. He lost a family member. He lost a dear friend and a man of God. How would you feel if you heard that? Would you feel downcast? Jesus departed by himself in a boat to mourn. There's nothing wrong with mourning, is there? When you lose a loved one? He wanted to be alone. He was hurt. When you go home, ask Jesus what's on his heart and if he's hurting, if there's something that you could pray, there's something that you can bear, because God's griefs are man's griefs, and when you relieve man, you relieve God. And that's what kills me about this passage. There were healings, there were miracles, bread was multiplied, but no one asked, Jesus, why do you want to be in the boat by yourself? Why are you downcast? Nobody cared about the heart of God. He departed by himself by a boat. But Jesus got out of the boat of mourning. I tell you that Jesus paid the high price of sacrificial love. He got out of the boat and he sowed himself. He began to pray for people. He saw them. He's moved with compassion. He healed their sick. He met their need. Now, this is what God does. This is what the Father does, even in Jesus' life. Son, the merciful man does good for his own soul. When you do my mercy, it's going to help you. So God sovereignly sends these people on foot from the city in front of Jesus. And when Jesus meets their need physically, a need is being met in him spiritually. He's being comforted. You see, today, it seems like many of us are in a rocky boat. We're having problems. Maybe you're mourning something. But it is possible for you to look past your own mountain and show sacrificial love and sow yourself. My dear wife lost her mother recently, and she had the option of staying back on a ministry trip to mourn. But she said, no, though I'm grieving, though I'm going through something, I'm going to continue to lay down my life. Let's go to California. Let's bless the people. It's possible. And I'm saying to you today that the Lord is saying, wherever you are, get out of the boat and meet the needs of others. My dear sister Tina, today, even though she's going through something tremendous with Pastor Greg, I'm watching her while I'm staying there for 3 weeks. Meg is going through his surgery. She keeps calling Meg. Keeps visiting her in the hospital. Keeps looking out for other people. Whatever she's doing to Jesus. She's blessing the Lord. My friend, the word of the Lord to you today is John 13:20. I'm sending people into your life. They're going to look like Moses. They're broken. And when you receive that person, you're receiving me. But don't miss your chance. Because if you turn that person away, you've turned me away. And not only have you turned me away, but you've turned away your provision for your life. Today, the Lord Jesus is offering you a freedom to sow your life without worrying about what you can reap. It's a soul security. It's a soul safety that you can give your life worry-free, knowing God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He set up this cycle. It's not about what we can reap. We are not a reaping people. Jesus didn't come for what he can get. He came from what he give. Don't ask what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. I see in the spirit, You know, your light shines before men, but as you're doing good works right now, I see sparks. But I see a fire coming. It's starting to catch. Because your light shines before men when you do good works, mercy works. You glorify your Father in heaven. I see that increasing on this church. And I see right now in the Spirit that the Lord Jesus is releasing the grace of God into you to fulfill this word that you're hearing. You're sparking, but you're going to be a mighty fire. Glory to God. We forget not all his benefits, but we strive for Christ's likeness. Hallelujah. Today, as you leave this place, go with eyes wide open, looking to meet the needs of other people. Be free to pour out your life. Be free to pour out your life. For we are not a people who emphasize reaping, it's sowing. This is God's cycle that he set up for selflessness, agape love. This is the selfless sowing cycle. Let us pray.